You wanna hear a good joke? Nobody speak, nobody get choked.
It's still real to me, damn it!
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a brand new episode of the Sunday Night Slam here on TBK Magazine and TBKRadio.com. Don't adjust your ear holes. Yes, we're finally back. Took some time away. I needed a refresher. My God, last summer was crazy, was it not?
Last summer was crazy and then terrible and then we gave up.
It kind of was one of those things where I burned out on wrestling after StarCast. Like, I was just like, I'm done. I need a break. I know I've done a couple of shows since then. I did one previewing Survivor Series, and then I did one to talk about why we hadn't done a show after StarCast. You go back and listen to that if you don't know why we haven't done a show. But now we finally feel rejuvenated. Our batteries are recharged. We've watched some old wrestling. I finally enjoyed some new wrestling. Took long enough.
It's been a minute.
It has been a minute. I actually enjoyed watching NXT TakeOver Blackpool. And I feel that's what rejuvenated me, honest to God. And we'll talk about that show in a little bit. But joining me today is my tag team partner on this show and in life, Ashley.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. This is really strange to be back at this.
Phil will be back. And I think it's next week for our Rumble edition because Phil just finished Bax Noir, the Christmas Caper.
Ooh.
Which you will be able to see on tbkmagazine.com this Friday. So
yeah.
So check that out, as well as Christmas time. It will be reposted because you kind of have to. It's a Christmas movie on YouTube. If you haven't checked out his first film, do so. It's also on the website. He's a really, really talented person. And he even told me that there's a serious part in the film.
Oh.
And I cannot wait to see it. I cannot wait.
I don't know if I can believe that till I see it.
Yeah, we've got the projector set up, ready to go for this. We're going to watch it as if it should be on a big screen. It'll be a good time. So check that out. YouTube, look up PHC Studios if you want to check out Bax Noir, or on our website under videos. But that's taken care of. We've got a lot to cover. We're going to start with our stuff first because I feel that's a good, better way to do it. Every year, guys, we do the Nutsy Awards based on the stuff squirrel we carry around. We had him at StarCast with us.
We did.
And this year, in the last 2 years, we added a wrestling category. This year is no different. Our awards in the wrestling category this year are, I got to tell you, these were the toughest freaking ones to try to decide.
Really?
I this year, and I actually consulted other podcasts because I had no idea. Because there were, so I don't know if anybody kept up with how many great matches were in 2018, but dear God.
It was several.
There were a lot. And with that being said, there's a lot of different things. So let's kick this off. Go to tbkmagazine.com. Go to our About section. Find the 2019 Nutsy Awards. Scroll down until you see the wrestling category. We'll vote together. This is our official vote for the show. But you can vote, too, and vote as many times as you want. Voting ends on February 13th at 11:59 p.m. Pacific Standard
Time. Oh, Pacific Time.
Yeah, which means I'm up till at least two. So,
that's
but
true.
And then February 18th on TBK Live, it is a Monday. It is the 2019 Nutsy Awards. So
yay,
check those out. But let's do this. Breakout star of 2018, and I feel I'm a year late to one of their parties, but I'm putting him on the list because I'm a year late to one of their parties. But he had a hell of a year last year. Okay. Let's start out this. First off is Flip Gordon.
Always. Yes.
You cannot tell me that the saga of Flip Gordon made you, like, you became a huge Flip Gordon fan in 20.
I did.
The saga of him getting booked for All In and then seeing what happens when he won the Battle Royal and that place, outside Cody winning the NWA championship, that was the biggest pop of the night.
And we got to party with him the whole time before that, and he was just a blast.
Oh, he was fun at the Flips All Out party, where it was just like all these fans just chilling, him dancing, music's playing, you could buy merch, you got food. The food was really good.
The food was really good.
It was a fun environment, and I
feel like we need that type of pseudo tailgating before all big events.
I know WrestleMania fans do tailgate, and I've actually like real tailgating, like NFL style tailgate.
Well, I don't need NFL style,
but that would be pretty cool.
That was a really
cool experience, and I hope that they continue to do stuff like that. But I don't know how hard that's going to be now because you don't have someone trying to get booked for every show. But yeah. Flip Gordon. I feel the next individual that's on this list probably had the biggest year in 2018, even though he's one of the smallest competitors in wrestling. The year of Marco Stunt. I mean, we've seen Marco in Cape Championship Wrestling, and I said a year and a half ago, almost 2 years now, that Marco was going to be someone to watch out for. And then Joey Janela brought him to the table, to the dance at Joey Janela's Lost in New York. And it was just the rest is history, because then he gets booked for All In.
Which is the craziest thing
like this
ever.
Dude just went from there's a tournament in Tennessee he won. And my mind just blanked. It's a young wrestling tournament for younger guys, and he won it. Futures Tournament, Scenic Wrestling Invitational Futures Tournament, and he won it. And it was that weekend that started projecting Marco Stunt in just this upward, and he just climbed uphill. And it's all in, PWG, I mean, another Joey Janela show, and then he broke his leg, had a terrible ending to the year. But you know he's going to come back in 2019 strong as ever. But Marco had probably the year of
years. He's little and springy. He'll heal fast.
How about Jordynne Grace? And I know she's been around for a while, but last year again,
she blew up.
She came onto the national scene with All In, and her and Brian Cage having their little interaction in the ring was fantastic.
It was.
And now she's part of Impact, and she's killing it. So I feel like she's a name that has to be on this breakout star list. Joey Janela. Now, I know I'm a year late to this party.
You are a year late to the party.
But I feel like Joey Janela's Spring Break is a special show that's for a hardcore fan.
It was really phenomenal, though.
Spring Break 3, 2 nights. No joke. It is going to be Friday night and Saturday night.
Which means it's going to be balls out crazy.
Yes.
Ridiculousness but for
I
2 days.
But I feel, again, and a lot of this has to do with All In. But Joey Janela, honest to God, became a national staple at All In. The match with Hangman the day before at the presser where he's drinking we got sprayed with beer.
We did.
I probably the greatest photo I've ever taken in my life is of Joey Janela drinking
no
a beer.
Joke.
So I feel like he has to be on this list. NXT UK, one of the surprises of the year for me, because I didn't realize I was going to enjoy Blackpool or take over Blackpool as much as I did. And I know she's
not knowing all of those guys.
Rhea Ripley is on my list. She won the NXT Women UK Women's Championship last year. Come on. Like she looks like a star.
She does.
Like she comes across as one of the biggest stars, and I can't wait to see what else is from her. And how about the reemergence of PCO? Like I know he's been around forever, but you can't deny it. The dude had a hell of a 2018. Like he ended up in Bola. Again, because of Joey Janela. You know who we have to vote for, I feel now?
Joey Janela.
Just Joey Janela.
Considering that he's the only reason the two of these other guys made
the PCO,
list.
Yeah, PCO had a hell of a year with this match against Walter at Joey Janela's Spring Break 2 to signing with Ring of Honor before the end of 2018. Like, I mean, it's a hell of a year for him.
It was a great year for him.
So, who's our vote? I feel like now it has to be Joey Janela at this point.
I will agree with that. Like everybody on that list had a great year.
And Joey Janela just signed with All Elite Wrestling, which we'll talk about all. Look, that's the end of the show today. We haven't done a show in a long time. We have to discuss that.
We will.
Tag team of the year.
Okay.
I do agree with the Revival says that the tag team wrestling is getting the shit end of the deal in WWE. And I completely agree with them.
It's because instead of actually searching out good tag teams, they're just throwing random people together and calling them
Shad Gable
team.
And Poppy Roode.
Thank you.
But let's run over some of the best tag teams in WWE or in wrestling, not just WWE. It's got to kick off with the Young Bucks.
I mean clearly.
All In, Ring of Honor, New Japan, wins the IWGP Heavyweight Tag Team Champions in 2018. Like,
yep.
You got to take that into consideration. And then putting on one of the biggest shows of the year.
Yep.
Probably the last 5 years, honestly.
I'll give you that. I'll give you five.
And on top of that, I mean, great matches. Their match at Strong Style Evolved with the Golden Lovers, still probably one of the best matches of the year.
Oh.
Which almost didn't make the list because that's how many damn good matches there were last year.
This is true.
How about your boys, the New Day? No.
Maybe.
Pancake throwing. They won the tag titles again. They're always going to be on this list, I think.
They're always great. They're fun, and they're consistently good performers.
The Bar ended up winning the SmackDown Tag Team titles at the end of the year. Had not a great run in 2018, but enough to give them a spot on this list.
Yeah.
The Gorillas of Destiny.
They had a good run.
Oh, 2018 was good for the Gorillas. Like, now I feel when we see Bullet Club now, and I know Jay White's the leader, but in my mind and in my heart, it's still Tama Tonga's the leader.
It's because Jay White doesn't deserve that title.
We'll talk about Wrestle Kingdom in a little after we do this, but I also feel that Tama Tonga's talking a lot about WWE on his Twitter right now, and I'm really weirded out by that.
You think?
We'll talk about that. How about this one? I'm actually putting a female team in here.
Okay.
The Iconics. Look, they came on after WrestleMania. Their promos all year long have been great, including their match at Super Takedown Down Under, whatever the name. Super Showdown. The show super, in Australia.
Super Takedown Down Under.
Super Takedown Down Under.
I don't even understand what that's supposed to mean.
Yeah, I don't either. From Impact, LAX, they had a great year. And I mean, you cannot deny how good the tag team division has been in Impact.
Yeah, it's been it's picked up there where it's been lacking some.
Especially after look at Slammiversary, the LAX Originals versus the new LAX. That's a great feud. Curtis Axel and Bo Dallas made this list. The B team.
What?
They won the tag titles. They got super over. You cannot put them on this list.
I don't know. I feel they deserve
to be on this list. They had a hell of a year. They're super over. They're still super over.
I still don't understand Bo Dallas, so I'm just going to roll with it.
You need it. Well, coming up on YWWE in March on our road to WrestleMania, because yes, YWWE comes back this week.
There was supposed to be a surprise.
Well, we're talking about that. No, we have to let them know that's coming back so they can tune into that. I am going to let you know we're watching the very first TakeOver so you can understand Bo Dallas.
I don't think that's going to help me understand Bo Dallas.
Hell of a show, by the way. You can't have a tag team list without Undisputed Era.
Truth.
Because they ruled the NXT tag team scene all year.
Very much so.
And it's just a combination of all four of those guys, because you could put in any two and they're great.
Yep.
And then follow that up with the team they rivaled for half the year. And technically it's Mustache Mountain, but I put British Strong Style because Pete Dunne has to be in this conversation too.
Yeah.
So Undisputed Era and British Strong Style. And then we're going to wrap up this list with a little Southern California love. SCU! Who, by the way, might have had the biggest year of anybody, because I feel like they became the biggest stars of the year.
I'll give you that.
So who is your pick for Tag Team of the Year?
Do I have to?
Yes, yes.
I don't know.
See, for me, it's the Young Bucks, Gorillas, or SCU. And more so, I'm leaning towards between the Young Bucks and SCU.
I'm going with SCU on this.
All right, SCU.
Because those guys blew up over last year.
It was like overnight, too. And it's not like we don't know who Christopher Daniels and Frankie Kazarian and Scorpio Sky were before this.
But you put them together and it's just a whole new animal.
And then they get on Being the Elite. And everything changed. Like, overnight. they became mega stars like that. It was
because
awesome.
Clearly they weren't big enough stars before.
Yeah, no. And they all three signed with All Elite. Again, we'll talk about All Elite at the end of the show. Show of the year. Oh, this is going to be tough.
This is tough.
Wrestle Kingdom 12, headlined by Tatsuya Naito and Kazuchika Okada and Jericho and Omega. NXT TakeOver New Orleans, headlined by Gargano Ciampa 1, the non-sanctioned match. So good. Evolution, the all-women's pay-per-view from WWE, which was surprisingly better than I thought.
You knew it was going to be good.
I knew it was
going to
be good, but I didn't know it was going to be
good.
I didn't know it was going to be that good. NXT TakeOver War Games 2. Because I thought TakeOver War Games 2, it was hard for me. I was only going to put one TakeOver on this list. That was my goal.
Well, when TakeOver is better than anything you can get from the main roster.
Yeah, no. And there's not a main roster show on this list except for Evolution.
There shouldn't be.
Joey Janela Spring Break 2 gets on the list. And of course, All In. So what is your pick for this one?
All In.
It was hard for me to choose because I was down between All In and NXT TakeOver New Orleans. Because I think that might actually be as perfect as a wrestling show can get.
It was pretty phenomenal.
That's the best wrestling show of the year, but All In was a revolution. So I don't, it's kind of one of those where it's like emotion versus in-ring product. And it's really hard sometimes.
But with All In, you get emotion and all in.
A great in-ring product, but I do think TakeOver was better in the all in-ring product, but there was only 5 matches compared to like 9.
It's easier to get perfection with a smaller number of people
yeah,
involved.
Yeah, this is true.
And none of them were a battle royal.
Which was probably the best battle royal ever.
It was really great.
I hate to say that because I'm a huge battle royal fan, and I was sitting there thinking about that like right after that show, and I think I looked at you in the hotel room and went, I don't know if there was a better battle royal in wrestling than the one we saw during the pre-show of All In.
It was epic.
All right, so match of the year. Oh fuck.
Good luck.
Yeah, this is sucks. This list. Kenny Omega and Chris Jericho from Wrestle Kingdom 12,
which was great.
Gargano and Andrade Cien Almas from TakeOver Philadelphia,
which was great.
Kenny Omega and Kazuchika Okada for the IWGP title at Dominion,
which was great.
Gargano Ciampa from TakeOver New Orleans,
which was great.
Becky Lynch versus Charlotte, Last Woman Standing from Evolution,
which was great.
Tommaso Ciampa versus the Velveteen Dream from TakeOver War Games 2.
I love Dream so much.
I do too. I hope they never call him to the main roster. And I know that's sad to say, but I don't want to see him get screwed over. AJ Styles versus Daniel Bryan from TLC. The Young Bucks versus the Golden Lovers from Strong Style Evolved. And here's one. Last year, I did a match from Chikara as the match of the year. And I was like, I'm going to put an independent that no one's seen. That's my plan. So I want people to go out of their way to find it.
Okay.
But Jackson Crowley versus Marco Stunt from the Ashlyn McClure Memorial from CCW, because that's one of the best matches I've ever seen live.
It was a really great match.
They even played Patty Cake in the middle of it. That was great. They did. All right, so what's your pick for
and,
match?
And that is something that more people have probably seen by this point, because people are going out of their way to find Marco.
See Marco? Yeah. Jackson, by the way, I want to see Jackson get signed. The dude is super talented. I want him to end up in one of the big, like, 20 promotions right now, but I don't know who it's going to be.
One of the big 20.
We'll talk about that, too. So what's your pick?
He's got a great character, too.
He does.
I think he could translate really well almost anywhere. I'm going to have to go with TakeOver match.
The Gargano Ciampa?
Yep.
Honestly, that's probably my favorite motion story for the year.
I am hoping to see them come back together.
As heels. It's probably going to happen, and it's probably going to be heels, and they're probably going to do it WrestleMania weekend. We're probably going to get Ciampa Gargano as heels versus like a face undisputed. It's going to be the weirdest thing ever, but it's going to happen. Or they're going to take on Mustache Mountain. Like it's going to
acceptable.
That would probably be match of the year, but
I would like to see. I don't know exactly what their plans are with the UK guys for Mania weekend.
They have to have a match
but
somewhere.
I would like to see some champion versus champion going on.
They might do Pete Dunne and Ricochet. If Ricochet holds on to the North American Championship after TakeOver next week, because it's Ricochet and Johnny Gargano.
But I would also like to see Mustache Mountain take over the tag belts.
The main NXT tag titles?
In the UK.
Oh, the UK tag.
The UK.
Which, by
tag
the way,
belts.
We'll again, we'll talk about that yeah. show.
I'd
second.
Like to see them take over that and DIY 2.0 end up with them and.
So,
and give you an all-out tag team warfare.
Let's do the big category of the year, the wrestler of the year. And yeah, this one, again, super Oof. Tough. Oof. We're going to start the list off with Cody.
Great year.
NWA Championship, helped produce the revolution of All In. Constant shots at the Ring of Honor title. IWGP United States Champion. ROH six-man tag. Hell of a year for Cody.
He's done so well since leaving.
We were watching. I just want to talk about this for a second. We're watching the 2010 Rumble for YWWE. We're watching like six Rumbles for that show. And Cody comes out. And Cody's like half the size of Cody now. It's ridiculous.
So is Drew McIntyre.
Yeah, Drew McIntyre does not look the same. We'll talk about that on that show Wednesday, by the way, everybody. Kenny Omega. Again, it's not a year unless Kenny's on the list.
Well, he hadn't had a bad year.
No, Kenny Omega, Jericho, Okada, Penta Jr. at All In. It was a hell of a year for Kenny. The G1.
It was.
In his match against Kota Ibushi, which did not make the match of the year list, by the way, if that tells you how good this year was, or last year was.
This is very true.
Becky Lynch, the man.
You can't have a list without putting the man on it.
I'm telling you, Becky, it's the year of Becky.
I'm hoping that continues well into this year.
I think she main events WrestleMania. I'm still 100% behind her and Ronda Rousey main eventing WrestleMania. I think it's going to be a triple threat with Charlotte thrown in.
Oh, well.
And I'm cool with that because Charlotte deserves that spot, too. In fact, the main event should be Becky and Charlotte. As much as Ronda is great and all, but I'm cool with this. Like, make it a triple threat. That is a perfect main event to WrestleMania.
It is.
Unless you sign Kenny Omega, which we have to talk about that, too, in a little bit.
We will talk about that. And that's what makes me upset about all of these people getting signed and everything, is that every time you have a big power shift with a new player on the board, it ends up messing up what was happening before, and somebody gets screwed out of something that they deserved. Yeah.
So unless Kenny Omega signs with WWE and they're going to do Kenny Omega and AJ Styles or Kenny Omega and Daniel Bryan or Kenny Omega and John Cena, look, that's a thing. It could happen. You can't really, or I guess Kenny Omega, Seth Rollins.
Anything.
Literally
anything is fine.
You can't, Becky has to be in the main event. Johnny Gargano, 3 5-star matches in 2018 from Dave Meltzer.
Mm-hmm.
Probably the our match of the year. Honest to God, WWE's match of the year. There's no argument there with Tommaso Ciampa. Maybe even Almas's match might be better. Like, in a technical stance, the match with Almas Ooh. Might be a better match, but there's more emotion with the Ciampa match.
You have to look at it as a whole.
But, I mean, even his match with Aleister Black at TakeOver War Games 2 was really fucking good. Like, this dude
That's because he's really fucking good.
And, of course, if you put Gargano on the list, you can't have the guy who Gargano, like, yeah. Gargano's, I guess.
Foil,
yeah. Tommaso Ciampa, who again could have had 3 matches on the match of the year candidate. Had 2, but could have had 3.
Easily.
Yeah. Ronda Rousey. She's a rookie, but she tore it down in 2018, and good job for her.
She was considerably better than pretty much
anybody thought she
expected.
Was going to be. Yeah. Seth Rollins, because if there's one guy that's been consistent on Raw,
it's him.
It's been him. AJ Styles. If there's one guy who's been consistent on SmackDown,
it's him.
And Daniel Bryan, because holy hell.
Talk about return.
So who is your pick for Wrestler of the Year? Yeah, that's a tough list.
I don't want to do this anymore.
No. That's why there's so many choices, because it's so difficult.
I don't want to do this anymore. I'm done.
You gotta pick one.
I don't want to pick one.
You gotta pick one.
I don't want to pick one.
You gotta pick one.
I don't want to pick one. I don't know.
I had a mouth please to her.
I don't know.
It's a tough one.
I like all of these people. Everybody gets a point.
So you can actually do that. So I guess that's what we're doing. Cody gets a vote. Kenny gets a vote. I'm actually doing that.
I think that my pick would honestly have to be Becky.
All right.
I love seeing her make this come around where she's able to get the attention she deserves and she has always deserved. And 100% sure if there was not a women's rumble, she wouldn't be in the men's rumble this year.
And she'd probably win. And it would be much better than who knows who's going to win that one. And next week, I'm more excited for the men's rumble this year than I've ever been.
Really?
It's so open. This year's Royal Rumble is so open because it could be anybody.
This is true.
Like, I wouldn't even be mad if John Cena won the Royal Rumble.
That's weird.
Because we'd get Cena versus Brock, which is a money match, or we'd get Cena versus Daniel Bryan or AJ Styles. We know Cena Styles can tear down a house.
Yeah.
I figure Cena and Daniel Bryan could tear down a house. Like, there's not a bad match here. There is not a bad situation with whoever wins the Royal Rumble.
For as many great players as WWE has, they need to figure out how to use them appropriately.
Yeah. Let's talk about... Let's move into a WWE story. Let's talk about the elephant in the room. Let's talk about Kenny Omega.
Yes.
Or do we want to save that for our AEW talk?
Yeah, we can make him his own separate thing.
So there is this... Everyone by now knows that Kenny Omega has not signed with anybody, and his contract's not up until the 31st. We do know two things, though. New Japan will let guys go early if they sign with WWE. Because apparently AJ debuted before his contract was up.
Yep.
And then there's the other half of this is Kenny Omega going to sign with his friends at All Elite? There is the story going around that Kenny Omega turned down the WWE offer. But then there's this interview in Japan. And this is from Meltzer, by the way, that said that he turned down the offer. And then this interview in Japan says he wants to go where he's going to have new, fresh matches. And then part of me goes, what if he worked all the dirt sheet writers? What if he told them he turned down the offer?
I feel like we will not know for certain what he's done.
Until after the Rumble?
Until he debuts somewhere.
Well, and I mean, they'll announce, like, if he signs with All Elite, they're going to announce that the day he's free. Yes. Like February 1st, which if it's a Monday, and I don't think it is, it's a Friday.
Yes, it is.
Like that Monday after all that, he could theoretically be announced on an episode of Being the Elite.
Yeah.
I don't know if Kenny is going to... I prefer, and God, I know that I'm going to get hate mail for this, and I don't care. I said this to you.
Yep.
I've said this to everybody who I've talked to about this. I would rather see Kenny Omega in WWE right now, even though I know their storytelling is bullshit and the storylines the writers have produced are bullshit. It does not make the in-ring product crappy.
And he would have so many new opponents there.
Like,
whereas AEW, as good as it might be, is going to be the same people he's worked with for years.
Well, I wasn't going to get into the AEW conversation on that yet, but this is something that makes me a little nervous about AEW. You can sign. Because, I mean, Cody, Hangman, SCU, MJF, and Joey Janela are all the men, and Jericho are all the men right now. And then the wrestlers that are coming in from China.
Yep.
You cannot tell me that's going to last long. Like, and Pac. I forgot about the former devil in WWE. You cannot tell me that once you do a couple of dream matches, which is Omega, like Pac and Omega, maybe even like they did Omega Hangman in New Japan.
Yeah.
The American audience has not seen it as a whole. But... Like, can we run with this for as long? Can you run with that story as long as possible? But I told you the only way I think that Kenny Omega should sign with AEW is that they could bring in Okada. And we know now that New Japan picked Ring of Honor.
Yes. Like,
that is something we do know.
Yep.
The fact that they're not working with AEW tells me Kenny might be signed with WWE. Or Kenny's going to fucking throw us a real big curveball and go to Ring of Honor.
There's no telling.
Because he did tweet out, Japan, see you again soon. Or see you later. This is my last time for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and it's just, oh, shit.
There's a whole lot of speculation here, and I'm not enjoying it.
I
just want answers.
I mean, if he comes out in the Rumble, he wins. Like, I feel this is one of the first, one of the only times, like, AJ was a huge debut, and he lasted a long time in the Royal Rumble.
He did.
But it's, like, Kenny is the biggest name in wrestling. It's outside WWE. There's no argument from anybody.
He might be the biggest name in wrestling, including WWE.
I could argue it, but I can't at the same time, if that makes sense. Because I think a casual fan may not know who Kenny Omega is.
But there's fewer and fewer casual fans.
Oh, that's true. Like, I mean,
and he's been featured on stuff that has these guys in it. Look at the video game Showdown.
Oh, with Xavier Woods. Yes. Yeah.
Which is going to turn a casual fan onto these three new guys.
It also upsets me. And there is this story that they offer contracts to all of them. The Bucks were going to be on the main roster. Mm-hmm. Kenny was going to be on the main roster. Cody was going to be on the main roster. But Hangman was supposed to be the focal point of NXT. Like, they were going to put the NXT championship on Hangman Page, which I've said for the last 2 years.
Basically, immediately.
The last 2 years of getting to know Hangman, he's a WWE wrestler if I've ever seen one.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that to be a bad what thing, because Hangman's great in the ring, but he has the look. He has the ability to talk like a WWE guy. He could be a main eventer in WWE overnight. Like, I just see that about him, where a lot of the other independent guys, you just don't. Hangman's a star, and I think people are starting to catch on to that. But they offered them being the Elite on the WWE network.
And they turned it down.
And they turn it down. And I get it, because you want to do your own thing. Like, I get you want to be in charge of yourself. Like, I understand that. That's not. But there is that rumor, and it's been disproved. But if it is true, because again, we don't know where. Like, I'm about 80% sure Kenny's going to sign with his friends. I don't want that to happen, but I'm about 80% sure.
Nobody would be surprised by it.
Right. It's not the story that we. Like, it's not the story we want a surprise from. Like, if we see Kenny Omega enter the Royal Rumble, I feel like everyone's going to lose their shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, there's not.
Yeah, like, basically.
It's AJ all over again. When AJ walked out. More. Yeah, no, this one might be bigger than AJ. But, and he wins. He wins the Rumble. There is no argument that, like, he would win.
100%.
You know, he's got a 50. Okay, so fun story. I got sent the Vegas odds on the Royal Rumble.
Okay.
And there's not really a clear-cut favorite. But Kenny Omega right now has better odds than The Rock. And that is someone I could actually see being in the Royal Rumble. So, like, Omega's odds are like 10 to 1.
Damn.
Of winning the Rumble. And I'm like, does somebody know something that we don't? And then The Rock's odds are like 22 to 1. And I'm thinking, what the fuck?
Oh.
I mean, the odds-on favorite to win the Rumble right now is Drew McIntyre.
Which is not a bad favorite.
No, I mean, like Drew. I think he should. Like, he was one of my picks. Like, he's one of my heartfelt picks. But right now, I don't know. We'll talk about that next week.
Yeah.
Well, but
we can't talk about Rumble with all the rest of this.
Kenny Omega is I mean, we know he's going to go to one of the two.
Yes.
I do think his run as IWGP champion was shitty. And I do think if he signed with AEW, and this is just a personal opinion.
Yes.
If he would have signed with All Elite, or he was going to sign with All Elite, they wouldn't have pulled the belt off of him.
Why?
I think they would have been more likely to work with New Japan. Or with New Japan would have been more likely to work with AEW if Kenny would be like, I'm going there.
Well, you said he's not allowed to talk about that.
But everyone gets a send-off.
And he got nothing.
And I know that they didn't do it for the Bucks. But, I mean, Kenny's was the guy.
They didn't do a lot of stuff well
with him. Which is why that's a good segue to Wrestle Kingdom.
They didn't do a lot of stuff well with him. And they jerked him around and kept him away from the title for so long.
Oh, they should have pulled the trigger at Dominion 2017. They should have pulled the trigger a year and a half ago. And then Kenny Naito could have been... Tetsuya Naito could have been the main event for Wrestle Kingdom last year. Then you could have had Kenny Okada again in the 2 out of 3 falls match where Kenny wins decisively. And I think the main event for Wrestle Kingdom should have been Kenny and Kota.
That would have been better.
But they didn't go that route.
Nope.
They went with Tanahashi, who, again, okay, so I don't know if I've said this on the show. I stayed up to watch Wrestle Kingdom.
Yes, you did.
But not because of Tanahashi Omega, because I'll be honest with you, Hiroshi Tanahashi does nothing for me as a fan. Like, I don't know. There's just, like, I know he's a great wrestler. He's a great person. But there's just, I don't have any connection with Tanahashi. Like, I love Okada and I love Naito. I have no connection with Tanahashi. Like, I'm just like, it's Hiroshi Tanahashi.
Woo.
Because, I mean, the first time I see him become champion of anything outside the IWGP Intercontinental was he won the six-man tag or the never open weight six-man tag with, like, Taguchi. And I don't remember who the other one was. But it was just kind of like, I think it was Kushida. And it was just kind of, here. That's your biggest star in the company. That's your John Cena. And yet, I just don't feel it.
Yeah.
And I guess it's because I didn't see the rise of Tanahashi, so maybe it's just I'm skewed from that. Where I've seen the rise of Omega, and I've seen the rise of Okada, like, to a point of Okada. And
I don't know. I've never been a huge fan.
Like, I get it. And I think Wrestle Kingdom, like, okay, so I loved Wrestle Kingdom 11.
Yep.
I loved 12. I thought 13 was meh. I thought it was middle of the road at best.
Wow.
And I think part of it is because everything was so damn predictable. If you want me to compare it to a WrestleMania, it's WrestleMania 29, where, okay, you know what's going to happen in every match. It's not a terrible show. You get a couple of great matches. But I don't care at the end of the day because it's the shit we already knew was going to happen.
What happened in 29 that you already knew was going to happen?
Cena defeat The Rock.
Okay.
Undertaker beat Punk.
Okay.
I'll be honest with you, that's about all I can. The only surprise from WrestleMania 29 was Fandango beating Jericho.
Okay.
And funny parallel is that Jericho lost at Wrestle Kingdom 13 too. So, but I mean, it was to Naito at least. But you knew Naito was going to win the Intercontinental.
A little bit better than Fandango.
You knew Naito was going to win the Intercontinental. You knew they were going to pull the belt off Omega if he was leaving.
They pulled belts off everybody, and we knew they were going to pull belts off everybody.
Like,
and nobody got a send-off because they're mad that they're starting
their own
company.
There is one person getting a send-off, and it's Kushida. But I know why Kushida's leaving, and I completely agree with his reason. He asked Gato if he could turn heel.
Yeah.
And become part of Bullet Club.
Okay.
And Gato was like, no. We need you to be where you're at. We need that face. And Kushida's like, I'm done being that person. So he's gone. Kushida gets a send-off match at the end of the month, though. Against Tanahashi. Which will be fucking a great match. Like, we know it Kushida will. And Hiroshi Tanahashi's going to have a hell of a match.
Always do.
That's it. But that's it. Kushida gets his send-off and Kenny doesn't. And I feel that bothers me as a fan.
They gave none of these guys a send-off. And
they gave AJ a send-off. They gave Balor a send-off.
But
they
didn't do Kenny or the Bucks or
Cody, I understand, because Cody's only been in the company
for a year and a half, isn't as big of a deal. But look at how much the Young Bucks have done.
The last 6 years have been pretty much Young Bucks in New Japan.
And they got nothing.
It's a weird situation.
But then again, this is after upper management has changed with...
Oh, and a lot of people are not happy
with New Japan.
And let's go over Wrestle Kingdom. The only two good matches at Wrestle Kingdom. I did not care for Tanahashi Omega. I know it was the match of the night and so far match of the year in star ratings.
Star ratings aren't the only thing that matters.
I believe Dave Meltzer's opinion to be full of shit. And that's not me saying anything, but if you like a match and he doesn't like it as much as you, fuck him. It's your opinion, not his. Like, I get... Where he has, like, he deserves that his opinion is there. Like, he's been around long enough to be like, okay, your opinion matters. But
it's not the be all.
It's like the movie critic where it's like, oh, if you hear like a critic go, this movie sucks and you enjoyed it, don't just say the movie sucks because this guy said it. Enjoy what you enjoy. Fuck all that.
Yes.
I didn't enjoy Tanahashi and Omega, mostly because I guess I knew how the match was going to end and then I just didn't give a shit. I did enjoy Kota Ibushi and Will Ospreay, but that was the first match of the damn show, and then I was out. Like, after that match, I was pretty much checked out. Like, that was such a good match. Like,
you don't get bad Will Ospreay matches. You just don't.
Will Ospreay did give Kota Ibushi a concussion. But he legit knocked him out.
Eesh.
It was a good match. Like, maybe probably the match, to me, the second best match of the night, because I thought Jericho Naito was better. But I don't. Every other match, like the triple threat for the IWGP tag, the IWGP Junior, the IWGP US title. I like Juice Robinson a lot. I think he's come a long way. I think he's going to be a major player in New Japan unless he jumps. And if he jumps, he'll go to AEW. Because he's already done the WWE thing. He's done there.
Yeah.
But I think he had one of the best years of 2018. But even going forward, I think he's going to be in a better spot. But, like, I don't care about Jay White. I don't, like, this incarnation of Bullet Club outside the Gorillas of Destiny and Taji Ishimori, I just don't care. Because New Year's Dash, they put back Yujiro Takahashi and Chase Owens back in Bullet Club. And I'm like, eh.
Yeah.
Okay, that was your big storyline from New Year's Dash? Meh.
Like, well, I mean, they don't know where they're going now because so many people have left.
I just, like, New Japan's running a show. Okay, so here's another thing. So they announce all these big shows. The G1 starts in America, which I want to go to.
Yeah.
I told you that. But there's supposed to be a New Japan show in Nashville next Saturday.
We know nothing
else. Oh, no, February 2nd. I'm going to tell you something shitty. They also have the New Beginning in Sapporo the same night.
So you're going to get the shit part of the
Juice
roster.
Robinson is the only name not booked. My thought is you're going to get a Ring of Honor house show under a New Japan name for the three shows that they're doing in America.
Outside of the start of the G1?
Mm-hmm. You are not going to see any of the big Japanese names at those shows. And if you do, I'm going to be shocked.
And people are going to get pissed.
Because that's what, and this is like how I feel about Ring of Honor selling Madison Square Garden out.
Okay.
I think they did it on the names of the Young Bucks, Kenny Omega, and Cody.
And now you get none of them there.
And now none of them are going to be part of that show. And it's just like, I figure your main event might be Tanahashi Okada. That's fine. That'll be a hell of a main event for the Garden. That's great. But again, meh.
It's
Wrestle Kingdom this year was the biggest meh I have ever seen for a show in a long time, and the biggest meh I've ever had from New Japan.
Well, see, I decided not to stay up and watch this year because I did have to go to work.
Yeah.
So it makes it
It was on a Thursday night.
Increasingly hard for me to stay awake until 6 a.m. to watch wrestling. So I told you.
Yeah, this show is over super early, too. It was like over before 6.
I told you that I knew you were staying up to watch it. Anything that you felt like I needed to see, I would watch the next day.
And I didn't tell you a damn thing.
You told me not to watch it, which says a lot, because every other one that I have not watched.
I've showed you matches. Like, I even showed you some of the third tier matches from some of the others.
Yeah, there was the one from, was it 2 or 3 years ago?
Which one?
You
stayed up for the first one.
Yeah, the one, there was one I did not stay up for that
12.
I watched the majority of with you
the next day.
The next day.
Yeah, the Jericho. It was Jericho Omega. Like, I remember
because last year's I stayed up for.
It was actually 11. It was the first one.
Was it?
Yeah. Because we were in your granny's house for that one.
I stayed up for the one that we had here, too.
Oh, then you've watched both of them when they were happening.
I didn't stay up for the one before that. So it was 11 I didn't stay up for and 12 I did.
You came off and on for 11. Like, you were awake half.
I was attempting to sleep, and I would start watching, and it was good, and I wanted to stay awake, but I had to go to sleep because I had to go to work.
It was like, I mean, that's the thing with those shows where I'm like, I enjoy New Japan to a fault, but now I just, like, this show kind of turned me off New Japan. And my, so going forward now, my wrestling fandom has wavered. Since, like I said, I got burned out after StarCast. I've watched three WWE shows. I watched Evolution, I watched TakeOver War Games, and I watched Survivor Series. I enjoyed all three of those to a point. Like, I enjoyed Evolution and TakeOver War Games and Survivor Series.
Yeah. And then we've watched, this year we've watched TakeOver.
And that's where we're going to go. Because, like, my fandom has kind of wavered. And I go, it's not that I'm not a fan. It's just I was burned out. And when you get burned out of something, you just need a break. Then I watched, I was going to, like, last weekend was TakeOver Blackpool, and I watched the Chiefs game because, you know, my team is now in the AFC Championship, which while we're recording this is an hour and a half before the game. So.
Wait, while you're listening to this, we're watching the Chiefs game and hopefully.
Going to the Super Bowl in 2 weeks. But watch TakeOver Blackpool, and I thought, okay, this is not going to be that great of a show, but I'm going to watch it because it's an NXT show, and that show blew my expectations away. Joe Coffey and Pete Dunne is match of the year right now in my head. Hands down. That is the best fucking wrestling match I've seen this year. And honestly, if it wasn't for Gargano Ciampa from last year, that's the best WWE match in the last like 3 years. That match was fucking great.
It's better than anything that's been on the main roster in years.
Outside Becky and Charlotte last year.
Men's match.
Oh, outside. Ooh. Now that you say that, I do not remember a WWE main roster match like exceeding such expectations. Like, that was phenomenal.
Yeah.
But it's been a while.
It's been a long while.
It's always multi-man matches too that get like the nod of like, oh, that was such a great match. You're like, well, damn it, why can't it be a one-on-one?
Let's do this for real, guys. Let's do this for real.
So, but yeah, TakeOver Blackpool, the NXT Tag Team Championships, which I thought Mustache Mountain was going to win, but they didn't.
But then you got some backstory on...
The Nigel McGuinness doc is so good that you need to watch it, because I wasn't a huge fan of Zach Gibson until I watched the Nigel McGuinness doc and went, he deserves that spot as the first NXT Tag Team Champion. Like, that's awesome. The women's title match was great. The match between... I can't think of names now. My mind's blank. I'm not going to look it up, but the no disqualification match was really good. And then Jordan Devlin and Finn, which I think that is the reason Finn Balor's in the fucking Universal title match, was because of the reaction he got at TakeOver Blackpool.
I mean, I don't understand why they came off so much after he came back from his injury. I understand starting slow when he comes back. But that's been so long now.
When he came out, that place erupted.
I called that before it happened.
Yeah, you did. You was like, oh, it's going to be an Irish wrestler. You said it was an Irish wrestler. You didn't say it was going to be Finn.
I did say it was going to be Finn.
And then Finn Balor walks out, and that place goes absolutely apeshit. And I didn't know what was happening. And tremendous moment. And then the match happens, and Jordan Devlin is really good. And I didn't realize that because I haven't enjoyed Jordan Devlin's matches up until that match.
I mean, we've called him
Finn Balor Light.
Finn Balor Light for several months now.
But I enjoyed that match. And then Finn on Raw Monday gets a shot. Like, they write Brock out, who I figure will be in the Rumble.
I sincerely hope not.
They write Brock out. And then Finn gets the Universal title match, and there is this swirling rumor that Finn might win, and you're just like... So, because of Finn's moment at TakeOver Blackpool...
Maybe they're going to put some faith back into him and let him do what he should be doing.
There is also a huge thing that says Finn Balor's entrance at the Royal Rumble, maybe the best one he's ever done, so there's that.
Which I'm really excited to see, because he's had some epic freaking entrances.
Which means we're probably getting Demon Finn at the Rumble, and oh my god, Demon Finn versus Brock Lesnar might actually be the one moment where you're like, Finn might win? Holy crap! I'm not going to complain, but him and Daniel Bryan, you went to bed before the Brock Lesnar-Daniel Bryan match was over, and it was just like Brock throwing around Daniel, and then Daniel Bryan makes this comeback, and it becomes like one of the best matches I've seen Brock have in the entire run. Since he's been back in 2012. It was such a good match. But,
such a hard match.
TakeOver Blackpool was really good.
Highly recommend if you haven't seen it. And also watch the Nigel McGuinness doc.
Yeah, the Nigel McGuinness documentary is worth it.
It kind of made me cry.
Speaking of making us cry, and I feel we have to take the downer moment. One of the big wrestling stories since we've been gone is the death of Mean Gene Okerlund. And wrestling deaths don't hit me super hard. They hit me, but they don't hit me that difficult. Like, okay, so the death of Bobby Heenan hit me.
Yeah.
Roddy Piper's hit me pretty hard. Dusty's hit me pretty hard. But every, like, it's just become, like, you know that people get older and pass, but you get the news that Mean Gene died.
Yeah.
And my heart just broke. Because I remember back in the day, like every primetime, every Superstars of Wrestling, every pay-per-view, there's Mean Gene Okerlund with the microphone doing an interview with somebody. Or Mean Gene's doing the pay-per-view rundown of like, here's what's up today on or tonight at Survivor Series. And it's just, poof, and your mind's blown about how good he was. And then when you go to WCW, like there's two, okay, so there's a few moments that stick out in my head. And I feel like we have to, like, I know you are just getting into seeing Mean Gene more because we're watching the older stuff. But there is the one where the sign falls during SummerSlam 89 and Gene's just like, fuck it.
That is one of my favorite outtakes I have ever seen of anything.
But Ric Flair's promo after Royal Rumble 92 where he wins the championship is still probably one of my favorite Mean Gene moments as an announcer. Where Gene's, you know, Flair's going, with a tear in my eye, this is the greatest night of my life. Woo! And Mean Gene's like, are you smoking a cigarette? Put that out! And just, to someone off camera. Like, I don't know if there was someone really smoking, but if they were, God bless them, because Gene made it even better. And then there's the WCW promo.
Okay.
Bret Hart's cutting a promo. And him and Gene, like, Bret's never been a great promo. Just gonna call it now. Bret's a great wrestler. Never been a good promo guy. Bret's doing this promo. Bret's United States champion. And Bret goes, I'm going to issue a challenge to defend my championship against a wrestler who is a great stand-up guy. A guy who can go toe-to-toe in the ring with me. El Dandy, I think you are one of the best wrestlers in the world. And Gene goes, El Dandy? El Dandy's been wrestling in the cruiserweight division. Why El Dandy? And Bret, with a straight face, goes, Gene, who are you to doubt El Dandy? And Gene just kind of, like, it's just a left to where he slightly loses it. And just goes back into the interview like that comment never happens. Like, that is one of the best, like, I love Gene. Gene... Or his call the WCW hotline now, 1-900-909-9900, and find out who's jumping ship. Those moments. So Gene will always be remembered by, I think, wrestling fans of my generation more than anyone else.
We also got a documentary on him.
Oh, my God. Which was actually being put together before that happened.
Yeah, because, I mean, he was a part of it. Of course it's been being put together. And I think they might have just rushed it a little to finish production. But on... like the classic clips from that, you got to see some of the behind the scenes of him trying to do interviews.
That was great.
And that was the best thing ever. Like, I love seeing the real people behind the character.
Who are you to have a conversation with Elizabeth? Like, it was great. Like, Savage just kind of going off on him like, you guys just over here having a conversation, dig it. It was funny as hell. Like, it was great. And then his WrestleMania 9 thing where he's in the toga and with like these horrible sandals on. So funny. But he is one of the few guys that I've ever heard say his jump to WCW was the best thing he ever did.
He needed a different thing going on.
And that was kind of one of the big moment of that whole show was him saying he needed a change, and going to WCW was that change. He was around Hulk Hogan. He was there through the entire run of Hulkamania from start to practically finish. That's crazy to me.
Yeah.
So, because he was part of the AWA when Hulkamania really started and Hogan was part of Rocky III, and then Hogan jumped to New York. And then
brought him with him.
And brought him with him. And I didn't know that. Like, I knew Gene jumped, but I didn't know he was part of that too. Like, I didn't know that Gene jumped with Hogan. But I mean, Gene's the voice of the 80s. And the 90s, and you're just like, you don't realize that until like you're watching these old shows, and every time they go to the back, it's Gene or Sean Mooney, at least in the late 80s, early 90s. And then in WCW, it is all being Gene.
Yeah.
Wrestling World lost a great guy. If you haven't seen Legends House, you need to. Because Gene is great on that. Gene, Pat Patterson, and Roddy Piper make Legends House worth watching. Everyone else, but those three make it worth it.
Pat Patterson's lovely.
You haven't been on a show since StarCast. Pat Patterson was our favorite part of StarCast, was he not?
He was so sweet. Just wandering around doing all kinds of random stuff singing all weekend.
His karaoke, like, nobody cared that they were singing. Like, it was Pat Patterson tearing down the house singing karaoke because he loves doing that with his kids. Like, it was a great night.
He sang like 6 songs.
And worth it. Like, that was worth staying up super late for and getting up early the next morning.
That was terrible.
To go to All In.
We stayed like an extra 2 hours past what we had planned on because we're not going to go to karaoke because it was just karaoke.
And then we did because we're like, well, we'll stay for a little bit and then we'll leave. And then Pat Patterson comes out and starts singing. You're like, nope, we have to stay now. Pat Patterson's singing.
And we were sitting off to one side and all these random wrestlers just started like sitting around us.
Yeah, Don West is sitting in the like 3 seats down from us, just in the row with us.
Just chilling.
You know, the one thing about StarCast we've not said was the weirdest aspect of it was just wrestlers roaming around the hotel, like just walking around.
Yeah.
Just randomly. That was kind of strange.
And like that's the best part about any convention is just when you, especially at the smaller ones, that's something you get.
Jerry Lawler in Kansas City probably is my favorite walk around story where he's just buying comic books and stuff. And people are like, are you Jerry Lawler? And he would just look at them and go, maybe. And just keep going. Like a typical King fashion. Well, all right. Good for you, man. Good for you.
Because we got that a lot at the StarCast hotel where they actually had the convention. Is you had random wrestlers just walking
Marco
around.
Marco was on our hotel.
Drinking coffee, talking with each other.
Talking with a few fans here and there.
And a lot of the times when I was wander off by myself, I had a lot of interactions with them, just like a wave.
I got to talk to Hangman Page.
I got a fist bump, and it's like, this is the weirdest thing ever.
You got a wave from Jim Ross.
I did.
But I was talking to Hangman before he went on Busted Open Radio, because he was standing right by me.
I told you that.
Barefooted.
I told you he was standing by you. You and didn't notice.
And then I turn around, there's Hangman Page, who, by the way, may be the best looking man in the world.
God, yes.
And just barefoot, because that story continued, and just going, oh my god.
He was barefoot around Chicago for days.
Until after All In, and then it was just like, shoes on.
I'm really questioning how he was barefoot in so many public places and didn't catch something.
Yeah, good for him, because he wasn't in Arkansas. Good for him.
Well, I mean, is Chicago that much cleaner than Arkansas?
Yes. Right now, yes. Let's talk about the other thing. Let's talk about the other big stuff. Let's talk about some WWE news real quick before we get into AEW. There is the talk that the Revival has asked for their release.
Yep.
That possible Zack Ryder might jump to AEW.
Yep.
There's one main eventer that's talking about jumping. We don't know who that is. I've got a few guesses, but
possibly Sasha now?
Sasha's been quoting the Revival. I don't know if it's a work or not. And then someone else just asked for their release. Oh, Mike Kanellis. Maria and Mike Kanellis. Maria came online and said that's not true.
Oh.
So I really don't know what's going on there.
Side note, I would honestly kind of love to see the Revival jump to AEW.
Just for they couldn't go by the Revival, but
They could go by something else that started with an R, though.
They'd have to.
And then
the Revolution. And then out comes Dash and Dawson. Okay. So that's what's going on there. And a lot of people think they're going to jump to AEW. The thing with that is I do believe the Revival leaves if the tag team division's not fixed. They had a meeting at Raw Monday.
Good.
Where they just expressed all their concerns about the tag team division. So hopefully that gets fixed. The main eventer, I think in my heart, I don't think AJ's contract's up after Mania. I don't think it's AJ. Unless they offer him AJ money. And from what I'm hearing, AEW is offering fucking huge contracts. So if they offer AJ better money for less work,
he might, because, I mean, he's got kids. No, don't.
Sorry, I had to.
Don't.
I got kids. But I mean, there's a few. Finn might be one of those guys. I don't think Finn jumps. I don't think AJ jumps.
I think Finn has enjoyed his time in WWE.
I don't think AJ jumps. I will tell you someone who I think could jump.
Okay.
Kevin Owens.
I would believe that one.
Like Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn could leave. Like, Sami Zayn comes back as El Generico, and that place would go fucking nuts.
No joke.
But there's a... Out of main eventers in WWE, I just don't see anybody really going, I'll leave.
I think most Daniel. Of the guys...
Daniel was another one on my list that could possibly leave.
Daniel
especially
might leave.
Especially after watching the Nigel documentary. Where I go, if he can get less dates, he doesn't have to work the house show circuit. Which he doesn't now that much. But I mean, he does.
I think he would like the freedom that he could get going somewhere slightly smaller.
That's what, and I mean, is it smaller? Because
I said slightly smaller. Okay. No matter what way you look at it, everything is smaller than WWE.
Yeah, and it should rightfully should be.
And it's always going to be.
All right,
which is fine.
Let's just talk about it. On New Year's Day, we knew it was coming. On the episode of Being the Elite, they're standing outside the Tokyo Dome. You find out there's going to be Double or Nothing. And then Hangman says, but wait, guys, there's something else on my phone that's not Double or Nothing. And it shows All Elite Wrestling. And this is it. Cody and the Bucks met with the Khan family, I'm guessing, way before this happens.
Yeah.
And probably around All In.
Probably.
Khan family, the main guy, the younger Khan, a member of the Khan, I think his name's Tony. And I'm probably wrong, but he is a huge wrestling fan, grew up a wrestling fan, and believes that wrestling is not in a good place right now. And I don't disagree with him as that much, because it's really not. And then so he decides to give Cody and the Bucks, hey, look, let's do this. And All Elite Wrestling is born. We know Cody and the Bucks are vice presidents.
Yep.
We know Brandy's in charge of Brandy, a brand officer, which, by the way, it is fucking great. She has a shirt that says Chief Brandy Officer. I'm done. I want that shirt. Like during the presser.
Is this where Brandon is going?
Yeah. During the presser, she was like, Chief Brandy Officer. Hey, that's a t-shirt. Guys at Pro Wrestling Tees get on that the next day at like 10 in the morning.
She's
Chief Brandy Officer. I'm like.
I mean, they are 1 hour tees.
I got to give props to those guys. Like those guys are in the right place at the right time. They're making all the AEW merch. They're set. Because I think AEW is going to be great at the beginning. So we get the presser, we get announcements. We know Britt Baker is signed.
Yep.
Which is great because this last.
Excuse me.
Dr. Britt Baker.
Thank you.
I got to tell you, which was great at the beginning of Being the Elite. She's talking to Matt and Nick and goes, let's talk about the elephant in the room, guys. Why did you kill my boyfriend, Adam? The Elite. Right before she says his whole name, like they bust into the intro. I'm like, oh, that's good. That's good. Like, that was really funny.
I mean,
we know now Penelope Ford has signed.
Mm-hmm.
That's a huge one as well.
It is.
Joey Janela.
Yeah.
MJF.
Yep.
SCU.
Yep.
Chris Jericho and Pac. Okay.
That is a great starting point.
I believe that lineup could sell out smaller venues. Like, I don't know if it could sell out a Sears Center again, but you have to have a lot more in place. Let's talk first. Who are guys? So let's take WWE names out of this equation.
Okay.
Let's just talk about guys who will not. Let's talk about guys that aren't going to jump. Let's just say things stay the status quo. Let's talk about guys and from Ring of Honor and Impact, guys and girls from Ring of Honor, Impact, and the Indies. Is there anyone out there that could theoretically help this company out? Let's throw New Japan and Mexico in that too. Is there anyone out there who could theoretically make this company bigger as an independent rate as anybody else from this companies?
I feel Impact does have quite a bit of good talent right now.
Lucha Bros contract's almost up. They're going to sign with AEW. Let's just call
Which
it
will
what
be
it
great.
Is. Penta and, oh crap. My name is just blanked. I'm telling you guys, it's been one of those.
Phoenix?
Phoenix. Phoenix and, God, my mind is just new. Rey Phoenix and Penta will jump. They're AEW. That's I'm 100% sure they're going to AEW.
Which is good. That's great. Like, I'm
they're two guys that
one.
Should be there. I figure when Flip's contract's up in Ring of Honor, Flip jumps.
And we're assuming that
Marty jumps. I did say if Kenny ends up going to WWE, Marty goes to WWE.
I would believe that as well.
But, okay.
There's a possibility of Okada moving to AEW.
I think Okada's never going to go to WWE, but Okada would go to AEW. Because I think, and Okada's wrestled in the U.S. Okada was on Impact for 2 years, but no one will know it. They used him as a Kato-type character from the Green Hornet. It was bad. So
some people just don't know how to work with good talent.
Okay, so Okada jumps. I don't think Naito jumps. I don't feel like any members of LIJ leave.
I feel like if Naito leaves, he goes to WWE.
Oh, yeah. No. Him and Andrade.
He's got friends.
Yeah. Because him and Andrade were together as LIJ, original OG members. What about the Gorillas?
I don't know.
I think Tama Tonga is a major star, but I think Tama Tonga deserves a singles run.
He does.
But I don't know if New Japan's where he's going to get it.
I don't think they'll let him do it.
I think they're just going to be like, you're a tag guy.
They seem very bent on keeping the status quo.
Which I'm fine with to a point. And I get it. But come on, you have to make new stars. Osprey?
I think Osprey's WWE bound.
Since Ricochet is there?
Yep.
That's probably a good thought. And I think they're going to sign his girl too. So, unless she goes to AEW. And that might kind of influence Bea Priestley. That might influence him a little bit. It's kind of one of those weird situations where you're just like, who the fuck goes where? Because Marty's girlfriend's in WWE. She just got signed in. She was in the Fatal 4-Way. It was Britt. Crap.
I can't keep up with who's dating who.
I am really... She didn't get to be part of All In. She was announced, and then she had to back out. Deonna Purrazzo.
Ah.
She's in WWE. So, I mean, I could also see Marty jumping. Marty lives in Orlando, by the way.
Hmm. Is it because of her, though?
Yeah. But, okay, so... I do believe there's a few guys out there, but I don't know if they're going to impact the company enough. Like, it's... John Morrison, Johnny Impact, whatever fucking name he goes by this week.
I mean, he goes everywhere else. Why wouldn't he go to AEW for a bit?
I think he deserves a huge run. I think him and Cody had good matches in WWE, but I think he deserves a huge run.
Is that where he would do it, though?
Yeah. I think he deserves a national platform run, not an Impact run, because they're never going to bring him to Ring of Honor.
Why?
I don't know. I just don't see him in Ring of Honor or New Japan. Like, AEW's a good spot. I know Jericho's there, and Pac's going to get a hell of a run.
He
like,
will.
Oh, well, that's not going to be a problem. I do believe Marco ends up signing with AEW, and I told you that. Like, I think he's one of the few guys that's out there that I'm like, Marco can sign. Marco would be a huge signee because people would get behind that, would get behind him. So,
but I don't think that he stays there for very long before he.
No, I do. I think he's there for at least 3 or 5 years if the company lasts that long.
I feel like the company is going to do really, really wonderfully for the first 1 to 3 years.
It also depends on where they go in television.
It does.
We'll talk about that.
I feel like WWE is eventually going to buy them.
See, I don't know. I think someone... And my problem with AEW right now is, like, it's going to be hot out of the gate. Let's just say what it is. Like, out of the gate...
But this market is so saturated.
Double or Nothing is going to be one of the bigger shows. I don't know if they sell out. I'm kind of with Edge's train of thought of it's 10,000 more people than you had it All In. And yes, those seats move quickly, but can you put 20,000 people in a building? Even if they sell more than 10, I think it's a win.
It is. And they will.
Oh, they'll probably put it. I think I said 15 was the magic number for them for this one. Cause you can make it look like it's sold out. I think there's some issues here though. I think eventually they're going to start touring.
Yeah.
You can do one show here and there, and it'll be special. Like, I feel like this is AEW's second show. I'm sorry. All In was the first big show, and yes, it may not have been branded AEW, but let's just call it what it is. It was AEW.
It was the dry run to see if it would work.
And it did. I don't think they're on WG in America. Like, as great as that pre-show was for them, it got like 100,000 views on a Saturday afternoon at 5, which is kind of fucking impressive.
Which is more people than watch that channel.
Ever.
Ever.
But the pay-per-view buys were like 50,000. That's counting fight and regular pay-per-view.
Okay.
That's not a lot of buys. It is in this day and age, but...
That does not take into account the illegal streaming.
That's the other thing, too, where I don't know if traditional pay-per-view works. Like, you have to have it set up like the network, and doing that you can't do right out of the gate when you have... I guess you could. They have their own fucking series.
I mean, theoretically, it would work.
I mean, if you get enough guys who have their own YouTube shows, like, fuck it, go for it. Because I know Zack Ryder has his own YouTube show now, and if he jumps, then fuck that.
Really?
That's there. Yeah. Him and Curt Hawkins do wrestling figure reviews.
Do you think Curt Hawkins jumps?
Probably. Like, Zack Ryder and Cody are super close. Like, I feel that's probably going to happen.
But I will say, I don't think that WWE is going to let any contracts go right now.
No, they're not letting anybody go. AEW is offering just as big money as WWE, and WWE is going to match them. So that's fun. Rick, I do believe the market is super saturated with too many big companies. And that's something I never thought I'd ever say. Someone's going down. Someone's getting hurt in this war, and I'm scared to say who I think it is.
Ring of Honor.
No.
Impact?
Yeah.
Impact's a fucking cockroach. I don't think they're going to go down.
Well, Anthem's looking at selling because of what's about to happen.
There's no way WWE's not looking at buying.
Oh, no. Impact, they're going to put everything on the network. But let's take a look at that, because there's Ring of Honor, who just sold out Madison Square Garden. Again, I believe that they figured the names of Cody, the Young Bucks, Kenny Omega, Hangman Page.
100%.
We're going to be there. Okay, so that's done. So Ring of Honor, there's Ring of Honor, there's WWE, there's New Japan running America. They're not going to pull out of American expansion. Yes, I know in New Japan and Ring of Honor work together, but they're not pulling away.
No.
There's Impact. There's Major League Wrestling.
Oh.
All have national television. All have national television, with the exception of AEW, which I figure they're getting.
They're going to get something. Somebody is going to go under. I'm not sure who it's going to... I mean, clearly it's not WWE.
It's not going to be MLW, because they're small. They're small enough to where it's not going to hurt them. They can always bring in talent. They don't work on contracts. That's fine. Not to mention, there's PWG. I do believe this move, unless they let guys wrestle in the independents, will kill the independents.
I'll give you that.
It's going to hurt independent wrestling so much to have all this talent, but it's going to be it's going to be on just four rosters.
Yeah.
And that's fine if this was 1988, but this is not 1988. This is 2018. 2019. Good God, I did it. This is 2019. There's no way in hell these guys don't do it. Like, there's somebody out there that's going to get... You can't do that many talented companies.
Somebody is going under, and WWE is going to be there to pick up the pieces.
It has to be Impact. And I hate to say that, but I think Impact's the one that gets screwed, which is great for names like Rosemary and Allie and Jordan Grace and Brian Cage. Like, those
and
guys
all
are
of these,
set.
All of these people are going to be able to either decide to continue and transfer their contract to WWE, or they're going to either choose to be let go, or they're going to be let go. And then they can get picked up by somewhere like AEW that's going to be...
Oh, Ring of Honor would jump in a lot of those people.
In the mood for people.
Like, it baffles, like, it scares me with AEW coming around and how saturated the market already is. Now, here's the other part of this argument, is where AEW lands in television.
Which has a major impact on...
No pun intended.
On where this...
Because I'll tell you the perfect example of this. It is Impact. Because Impact started on weekly pay-per-views. They would get less than 10,000 buys.
Yeah.
And then they moved to Fox Sports Net at like 2 in the afternoon on a Friday. And I mean, they did okay. But when they moved to Spike, automatically almost 1 million viewers every week.
Yeah.
Which it never grew, though. So you have to have a network that's behind you. And there's something that we don't take into consideration, because if the network's not behind you, you're fucked. Because TNA is the best example of what happens if a network is not behind you. Because it never promoted the show. You never saw anything. The reason TNA never grew is because they never promoted it.
And you can't do just self-promotion.
You can to a point. Like, you, I mean, you have to, but like, you can only do so much. Yeah. So you're just getting a hardcore fan base, and TNA was barely able to put 2,000 fans in a venue most of the time.
Which is sad.
This is where I believe if AEW doesn't get a big network, that's kind of the path I feel they're taking. However, there is that rumor that's out there that it's going to be TBS. And part of me is thinking, my God, if it go to TBS, fuck.
We're back to the Monday Night Wars.
Well, I mean, they're going to be on Tuesday. 100% we know.
I didn't mean
No. Specifically. This is where I'm going. They're going to be on Tuesday, and I believe every event they run is on free television.
It's not a bad plan.
I think Cody is such a fan of the old school mentality that they run their shows like Clash of the Champions.
Okay.
Pay-per-view on free TV. If you can do that, like, I mean, there'll be one or two shows a year they don't do that with, but
your major shows.
I think they run pay-per-view quality shows. I'm not saying they're weekly television because we don't know how long that's going to be. We don't know if it's going to be an hour. We don't know if it's going to be in 2 hours.
Yeah.
We don't know if it's going to be at 5:05. Like, we don't know anything.
You're hoping for that,
though. I'm hoping for Saturday afternoon at 5. It'll be Tuesday because the show's Tuesday Night Dynamite, but let's just. That's the name of the show. It has already been trademarked.
That's terrible.
WCW Monday Nitro. Which Raw.
Also terrible.
Raw.
Also terrible.
SmackDown's about the only good like wrestling. Primetime wrestling at SmackDown. Or WCW Saturday Night. We're all right with those. Raw.
It makes no sense. Wrestling names make no sense. I've given up on it.
All In did.
Yeah, but you can't expect everything to be a winner, but you need your weekly show to sound better than Dynamite.
I think what they do is they run it like the old school NWA ran on TBS.
Mm-hmm.
And run I think they may even run against a pay-per-view.
Really?
I think Cody's got enough of his dad in him to go balls to the wall to be like, let's run Double or Nothing against Money in the Bank. Fuck it.
Jeez.
Because you can always go back and watch Money in the Bank.
You can't go back and watch this.
Well, I mean, you can. Like, you can DVR it, but if it also go, like, if they go to TBS, they get Hulu. And if you go to TBS, you can watch the show the next day on Hulu. That's a huge plus.
It is.
Then there's DVR. There's talk. They're in talks with Netflix to release the show all at once. That would be interesting.
It's a very odd platform that would either be great
or it would just
or it would kill them. And I don't know where that would go.
Because you can write story and no one knows you're doing storylines to advance outside the wrestling because they do Being the Elite pretty.
Yeah.
Like, no one knows what the next episode is. And it's taped months in advance. So there's a plus here. There's a huge plus with that.
There is.
Because they know they know how that platform works. I feel like they would be okay at it. But again, can you build to a big show off that? Because then you have to take, like, say they run 4 shows a year. You got to put out 4 seasons. Like, you have to do the entire run of a show. Like, say there's 10 weeks in between. 10 to 12 weeks between every AEW big show.
Yeah.
So you would have to release 12 episodes between every big show.
Yeah.
Can you theoretically do that?
It'd be tough.
To build to the next big, like, I don't know, without, like, being episodic. Because I know Netflix can release shows weekly. Mm-hmm. That's something that could be like, hey, we'll release it on Tuesday, like, at midnight. Every Tuesday, which would be... That would be kind of cool.
It would be, but trying to change something as old as the wrestling business to match current fan base and match current...
If it works.
Availability of the product.
If it works, it's great. If it doesn't, it sucks.
And there's no way to know if it's going to work or not because your fans are so varied in what they're
the WWE expecting. The WWE Network works. The Global Wrestling Network does not. I mean, that's the two best examples.
And there's just no way of knowing.
I mean, they're not going to release their own network anytime soon. Like, no. I don't see them doing that. I figure they're going to partner with Fight for every pay-per-view. It'll be like $35.
Which isn't bad.
No, I mean, if you're going to do it, you just got to keep the prices sort of... Like, they're not going to be able to run the same prices they ran for All In for tickets. Like, that's not going to happen. Like, their tickets are going to be expensive eventually. Like, they're going to be in that spot where you're like, okay, that makes sense.
And I feel like it makes more sense to make it a little bit more expensive.
Because now you're not running just one show. Because everyone thought All In might just be a one-off. They might do it again, but it might be, you know, a year or more down the road. We didn't expect it to be less than almost 10 months.
Yeah. I'm a little surprised they're doing it so soon, honestly.
I'm more surprised there's a second StarCast within a year.
We're not discussing that.
No, I'm more surprised that there's a second convention happening within 10 months.
It's because it's a terrible idea.
As someone who's been in the convention scene, running one con is crazy enough, but running two within a year and only having, let's see. I figure they knew Double or Nothing was happening in November.
Yeah.
I figure they had the place booked in November.
Yep.
December, January, February, April. 6 months. So putting together an entire convention in 6 months, and if you want to exactly know what happens, like most of the time when you do this, look at the Fire documentaries on Hulu and Netflix, because that's what happens when you try to put together something overly big in 6 months or less. Eventually something will happen. Like, there's a ceiling. And also I feel that, but here's the other thing too. You know how WWE has these super fans that travel to every show, and they're going to be in the front row. Like, you always see green shirt guy in the front row, and it's just, yeah. Watch him be a listener and like now he'll never listen again. But that guy, like, you always see the AEW is going to have those fans that go to every show religiously.
I mean,
every
company does. And even some people travel to look at just specific performers wherever they go, which is fine.
Like, I've seen tweets from people just following these guys at every show they're at. And I'm going, okay, number one, do you have a job? Like, is there real life for you? Because if there isn't, that's awesome. And I'm not saying that to be mean, because I love the idea of being able to go to any show I want. That's fantastic. I want that freedom in life. But you cannot tell me you are able to pull that down, have a house or have a place to live, and are able to book flights constantly to all these different locations. Like, eventually the spend it now, make more later philosophy will run out unless you're making it.
Eventually you have to find a way to actually make it.
And I've seen this happen with a few people who started to GoFundMe to pay their bills because they went to WrestleMania last year. Like, seriously, if you can't afford something like that, don't go. Like, I'm not trying to be an asshole, but bills come first, and that makes me kind of wonder how much... So they're going to start traveling other cities. Yeah. I think the luster wears off when they start traveling other cities, unless they start bringing in more people. And I don't know how that works, because, like, you already know they're running Vegas. They're going to run Jacksonville. And I figure they're probably going to run Chicago. I think we're getting at least 4 to 5 shows this year from them. Because I figure they're going to run Jacksonville in June or July. I figure they're going to run Chicago again around Labor Day. Labor Day.
Yeah, maybe a little bit later if they're doing in July.
It's just supposed to be a charity show.
Really?
Yeah. Most of the proceeds go to, like, victims of gun violence.
Huh.
Cody said that in the presser.
I didn't watch the presser.
Yeah, you couldn't. I'm not saying that to be mean, but the camera's like this the whole time.
Yeah, I can't watch those.
So there's that. So that's kind of one of those things where I'm like, I don't know where they end up. But I just, there's part of me that goes, can they put 10,000 people in a seat every time? The answer is no. I know eventually the new wears off, because it always will. But it depends on how well they do the new to make that happen.
They have to keep changing and evolving constantly, and that is tough.
But I think it's the guys to do it. I just don't know how much time they will have to do it. And that's where the problem lies. It really depends, too.
And hopefully they don't spread themselves too thin.
That's something else. If Kenny signs with AEW, it helps.
It does.
It helps out them tremendously. And I know this again, you can't just hope on one person, right?
No.
But let's talk about it. if Kenny doesn't go to AEW, it hurts.
It does.
It hurts them badly. And I don't know if anyone else has really thought that through, because if he doesn't go,
then what?
Then what? Because he has to be on the table for television.
Yeah. Yeah, he does.
You have to have another name come in, too. Like, there has to be someone else out. Goldberg's talking about going to sign with AEW for a show.
Which is crazy.
But I think Goldberg had so much respect for Dusty, and I think that's where that comes in. So there's that. And there's another legend
following
AEW.
I'm wondering how many favors Cody is going to cash in on his dad's name.
And that's not a bad, like, I mean,
I don't mean that in a bad way, but is he going to do that at the beginning to get this off the ground and
which
then they're
going to
flounder later?
Which wouldn't be, well, no, I don't think it'll flounder. Like, here's the idea behind that. If you put who's Goldberg's opponent? Jericho, which needs to happen because that match never happened.
Cody?
Well, that's true. I mean, DDP, he wasn't ever going to do a diamond cutter again and then did one for Cody. So there's that. Because we may have seen Diamond Dallas's Page last Diamond Cutter Wrestling It All In. I think a lot of the guys now or wrestled or who've came through the Performance Center or anything have so much respect for Dusty that it helps out in this situation.
It does.
Because Cody is like his dad. 100% Cody's doing something to try to make the business better. He's got a mind for the business. He's going to do great things creatively. He did make a terrible joke the other day. He's like, I might just book myself as champion. I know he was kidding, but just to see what happens. And I get that because Dusty did that.
The thing is, he probably needs to book himself as champion. That's the...
I don't want... And that's another thing, too.
Not ever, but...
Let's go back to Impact. Because, again, if you want to look at a parallel, Jeff Jarrett was the guy who started Impact. And, I mean, he did. He booked himself as champion for almost a year. And it hurt. It hurt that company. You can't do the nepotism thing. And as much as you want to, like,
that might be where this has to start, though, because who else is signed that could be their first champion?
Jericho? Pac? I mean, Neville's big enough. I mean, shit.
He could be.
Hangman?
Not the first.
Oh, God, yes. Think about it. Hangman Page is the first champion. You just cement that dude's name forever.
That would be lovely.
So, I mean, that's because I figure Double or Nothing, they've already given us a match. I'm about 99.9% sure we're getting Hangman Page and Pac. Fuck yeah.
I mean, there's no way it's not. Barring grievous injury, that's what's going
to
happen.
And then, you know, Brandy's going to sign women. And I feel like the women's division needs to be just as strong as anywhere else. Tessa Blanchard's out there, but she's signed with Impact. Rosemary and Allie are signed with Impact. I don't know how their contracts work.
Yeah, but we don't know when those contracts are up or how exclusive it is. Or
Jazzy Gabbert and Kaylee Ray just signed with WWE.
Yep.
That's done.
It is.
Because I got super excited during
Takeover
Blackpool about that. But, I mean, there's still, like, Bea Priestley still out there. Stardom. If she can get a working deal with Stardom, they're set.
That would do it.
Viper. I don't know where she's going to go. If she goes to WWE, which I feel like is probably going to be where she goes. But she's a big name in women's independent wrestling. And I feel she's one of those names that's actually probably being, you know, they're on the table for her.
Yeah.
Like, there's probably two companies that are just like, let's throw everything we can at these wrestlers and let's just see what happens.
But then you have to think, as an independent wrestler, do you go with the startup of the people that you know and have worked with over the past
couple years?
Oh, that's
a good question.
Or do you go with the name? With the powerhouse that has been around for 50 plus years and clearly knows what they're doing. And is not.
Well, I mean, knows what they do business wise, but.
Like, they know what they're doing as a company and they are for sure going to make it.
It's a very interesting. It's going to be a fun year.
Which horse are you going to back?
I think as a wrestling fan, this will be a fun year.
I hope that this is going to force both of them to be the best they can be.
Competition always made WWE better. Like, 100%. Like, go back to the Monday. Like, even though I don't think the Attitude Era is that good in terms of, like, but for every bad moment, like, we only remember the best parts of the Attitude Era, and there's a reason for that. It was because of competition.
Yeah.
I mean, names like Shawn Michaels, Stone Cold Steve Austin, The Rock, Mick Foley, Triple H, Undertaker were more household names during that time frame than they were in the previous 5 years.
Yeah.
It's because of competition. Like those guys is now, like those guys now are breeding the best. Like you just look and those guys are legends.
Yeah.
Go back to the 80s. WCW would run fucking clashes against WrestleMania. Clash 4 or WrestleMania 4, they run the first clash against. That night is the night that Sting became a star. I want WWE to do something, or I want AEW to do something crazy. Run their fucking events against theirs. Do it. If you've got the television spot, do it. You've got a billionaire who is actually worth more than Vince behind your company.
Wow.
Yeah, Vince is worth 3 point something. Tony Khan's worth 7. Depressive. You have a guy that's willing to spend the money to give you everything you want. If you want to make a statement, and I'm not saying right out of the gate, but go up against one of their secondary pay-per-views. Be like, oh, tonight's Hell in a Cell. We're going to do a show. Let's do All In 2 on Hell in a Cell night. Let's see what happens. Let's just throw shit against the wall. Let's see what happens. I want to see something cool. I want to see something different. I want to see WWE at its best again, because when it's at its best,
it's great.
Everywhere is at its best. And we've seen glimpses of the best. There's some really good stories brewing. You've seen NXT.
Hopefully they run with it.
You've seen NXT at its best.
Yes, we have.
So.
I think NXT stays at its best, though.
Next week is the Royal Rumble, and hopefully Phil should be back next week. And we're going to do our picks like we did last year of the balls.
Balls.
And who we're going to see, who we think is going to win, who we believe are surprise entrants in the men's rumble, because all 30 women are getting announced on Twitter today. And I don't...
Still don't like that.
It might be all 30. I don't know. If they do, that's a lot of announcements.
We need to keep track of that.
I know as the last one that was announced was Billie Kay, but she's already been announced. So.
Yeah, well... I don't like knowing everything.
Next week is the Rumble. It looks like it is going to be great. Next week is Rumble and Takeover Phoenix. Our show's going up on Friday next week. So we can preview Takeover NXT Takeover Phoenix.
Before anybody knows what's going on.
Yeah, because that way we can predict all the shows. Is there anything else that I am forgetting?
Probably, but I can't remember. It's been so long and we had so many things to talk about. I don't...
Yeah, it's been a long time since we've done a show.
It's been a minute.
We're back now, and I do know that next week, like I said, next week's going to be Royal Rumble, but the week, we might do a post show, and I haven't talked about, we talked about this a little bit, me and you have talked about this.
We have.
If we get enough time, and the show is super, like, and it doesn't have to be great either for that to happen, but if we get enough time, we might do it. It just depends on how we feel at the end of the thing.
Yeah.
So that's going to wrap up this edition of the Sunday Night Slam. We are back. Podcasts are back all this week. We're going to kick that back off. And don't forget to check out TBK Radio to listen to all of our wonderful shows. And don't forget to vote in the Nutsy Awards. Hey, Being the Elite's also up for a YouTube series.
Oh.
During the Nutsies this year, too. Against Good Mythical Morning, The Valley Folk, and... Shane Dawson, yeah. So check, go vote on that. It's under the radar.
Vote on everything. Vote on all of the things.
Yes, make your voices heard.
Please.
So, guys, that's going to wrap up this edition of SNS. Do you want to add anything, Ashley?
I think I'm good. Good night, folks.
And remember, if you're going to turn heel on your friends, make sure they're as gullible as Sting. Good night, everybody.